Amen. Never gets old, does it, Saints? It is such a privilege for us to come together every Sunday morning to delve into the Word of God. Welcome. My name is June Rogers, and I am happy to be leading in this lesson. Like I said, leading because I feel like I learned just like you all do as we're going through the scriptures. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear precious Lord, thank you for this time we get to spend with you. In all of your splendor and glory, you are mindful of us, mere mortals. You cherish us and call us your children. You supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let us really grasp what this means and all of the other important words you have breathed for our teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training so we can be about your business. To think you have a work for us to do, each and every one of us. We feel so very special and are so very grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for living, for dying for our sins, and even now interceding on our behalf. In your great name we pray. Amen. Okay, so, let's see. I was going to tell you what I was listening to this morning. There's a song called You Say by a lady by the name of Lauren. I hope I pronounced her last name right, like Daigle. Anyway, it's You Say, and part of what she says is, she says, you say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. When I feel like I don't belong, you say I'm yours. So basically, she just, you know, kind of helps get you into the mind frame of even though we may be down on ourselves or other people are down on us, we've got to remember who God says we are. That's what's important, and that's where our real encouragement comes from. So hopefully you had a chance to reflect. Remember, you had some homework. You were supposed to reflect on, you know, identifying someone that may need some comfort. And I'm about to give you a little bit more reflection in your would you rather question for today. So here it is. Would you rather never lose an argument, or would you rather never lose your keys? I know. Again, these are designed to be a little bit difficult. You don't ever want to lose an argument, and you don't ever want to lose your keys. But pick one, and don't forget to text me and tell me what you picked and why. So that's some kind of a hint for where we're going. Last week I gave two different questions. I got some feedback on that. One person told me not to give out two questions because it's hard enough focusing in on one. Point taken. I won't do that anymore. The other person replied to the question of whether you would rather always have comfortable clothing or always have comfortable bedding. In other words, do you want to be comfortable in the daytime or do you want to be comfortable when you're asleep? Her answer was too funny. She went with the clothing and added that leggings are her favorite. So shout out to Erica in Chicago. I agree with you, girl. Thank God for spandex. When I grow, that fabric just grows with me. Okay, so for the last, this will be our third Sunday on the teachings and the first three chapters of 2 Corinthians. And so last week we were finishing up chapter, my phone did something crazy. I just wanted to make sure I was still on the air. So we were finishing up the first part of chapter one. And so basically we were just talking about comforting and that the act of comforting is something that we could all learn more about, so that we could do it better. We discussed the connection between distress and comfort and that such situations like distress is when people do need comforting. We highlighted the goal of comfort is to strengthen, encourage, or give hope to. We said that because of this, rebuking and comforting do not go well together. We used a blanket as an illustration and a reminder checklist that we should be warm when we're comforting, that we should be soft or gentle in our approach. We should be approachable, as in cuddly, and we should be non-judgmental. And that brought us to a list of takeaways, of which I have five. The first one that we went over was, again, you cannot rebuke At the same time that you're comforting someone, let the Holy Spirit convict them. That's what's necessary. And, you know, we just, I think as humans, have a hard time when we're uttering criticism to not be condemning. But if we are going to issue some criticism, we need to be real careful about how to do it. Ask the Lord to help you. The second point was flexibility is required. We need to know how that particular person needs to be comforted. You'll recall I gave a little comical example about my sick parakeet and how I tried to treat him like he was a person instead of a parakeet, and it was not comforting. And then the last thing we covered was the fact that motives matter. And since that's real short, I'll just repeat what I said and then finish up with the 5 points. So number three, motives matter. We should approach comfort from a place of agape love, that is for mankind, not eros or romantic love. We should give comfort with no expectation of receiving anything in return. And like I said, as adults, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you've probably been around some people who want to give a hug and that kind of turns into something else. But in a moment of distress, again, the focus is to give the comfort without receiving anything in return. That brings us to number four. Is God okay with me giving this comfort? Remember to ask yourself, is this what God would want me to do? Recall we had an example a while back involving a coworker who, it was a fictional situation, but the coworker who got laid off and didn't really have any money, had a mom and a sister who was depending on him. And so as a Christian, you want to be able to help, but just recognize that there needs to be boundaries. So while you may be a married woman who wants to provide that type of a comfort to an unmarried man, you know, keep in mind what the boundaries of your marriage and the boundaries that God would expect you to undertake when you are providing comfort. So think to yourself, is God urging me to be the one to provide the comfort, or is there someone else who could do a better job? Of course, including God himself. We should always point people in God's direction. Even if we do provide them comfort, point out that while you might not be there to always provide them with comfort, you're not omnipresent. God is. Another part of your closing is that you should probably offer to pray with the person. We assume that people know how to pray, but that's not always the case. In addition to modeling how prayer is simply talking to God in a not-so-weird, unusual voice, the person gets to hear you interceding on their behalf real time. And then the last point, number five, is to pray for that person. Even if your gesture provides a degree of comfort, they still need the kind of comfort that comes from the ultimate comforter. Look at those letters that Paul wrote to the various churches. He was constantly mentioning that he was praying for them consistent with comfort, that is to strengthen, encourage, and to give hope to. Only God can provide the kind of comfort where you're like that eye of the storm type comfort. I sometimes look back at situations of distress, and I can visualize that God actually held back walls that were closing in on me. 2 Corinthians 4 describes being pressed on every side. Just think about that, being in a room where there's like walls, and the walls are just pressing in, but not being crushed. How is that possible? Like being in a fire but not being burned. How is that possible? You know, we know there were three thrown into a fiery furnace. So the only way that that is possible is to recognize because of God's supernatural intervention. In closing on this topic, consider that in our world, the suicide rate is crazy. And I mean, even if it was just one person, but there are lots of people committing suicide, especially during this pandemic. I recently did some research on suicide for a work project, and I learned something new. There was a study where they talked to people who had attempted suicide but that were not successful. And I thank you, Lord. You know, even if we want to kill ourselves, if it's not our time to go, we're not going anywhere. But that doesn't mean you can't jack yourself up real bad, and the consequences for that bullet that didn't lodge in the brain lodge someplace else and can cause some permanent damage. But one of the things that they found out was that suicide thoughts are not permanent. So while a person might get really depressed or upset or distressed in the moment and wanted to commit suicide, those urges do pass. So think about that. What if we can provide comfort to someone who is so distressed in the moment that we allow God to use us in that moment of their crisis to help them let that urge, that attack from Satan, to pass? No, you don't have to carry someone to the point of codependence, but God does not want us to be indifferent to each other either. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter. So just remember again, although we can never substitute for God, we can do work through the Holy Spirit on God's behalf, and that any glory that comes of all of that is his glory, not ours. Jesus showed us through his experience with the disciples that comfort is needed. Okay, so let us read the rest of chapter 1, starting with verse 12. We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world and especially towards you. Our letters have been straightforward, and there is nothing written between the lines and nothing you can't understand. I hope someday you will fully understand us, even if you don't understand us now. Then on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, you will be proud of us in the same way we are proud of you. Since I was so sure of your understanding and trust, I want to give you a double blessing by visiting you twice. First on my way to Macedonia, and again when I return from Macedonia, then you could send me on my way to Judea. You may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I am like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you, and as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. Now, I call upon God as my witness that I am telling the truth. The reason I didn't return to Corinth was to spare you from a severe rebuke, but that does not mean we want to dominate you by telling you how to put your faith into practice. We want to work together with you so you will be full of joy, for it is by your own faith that you stand firm. These last verses are pretty straightforward. You saw me hesitate for a moment because something jumped out at me that relates a lot to chapter 2 that we're going to talk about in a moment that I hadn't saw before, so I had to make a little check. But as I said, these verses are pretty straightforward. There's two things I do think should be highlighted. Paul and Timothy were being very straightforward. Nothing added, nothing taken away. As we comfort people, it's important while giving what is needed that we do not embellish. That only cheapens the exchange, and even worse, it gives false hope, which is not what we should offer. We should not make promises that we cannot keep. When we're comforting people, we're there with them in the moment. It doesn't mean that their situation is going to magically change and the mountain might still be there in front of them. What we're hoping to do is for them to change their perception of what they're seeing. I was interestingly trying to provide some comfort to some high school students, which was kind of interesting because it was a whole group of people who are going to look at a videotape later, which is a little bit different. But one of the panelists said something interesting about depression and anxiety that I hadn't considered before. And what she pointed out was that depression was looking backwards. So a lot of times when we're depressed, we're thinking about something that has already happened. And then she mentioned that anxiety is fretting or being concerned about something that is going to happen in the future. And in reality, what can't we control? We cannot control or change what's already happened, and we cannot change what's going to happen in the future. So in terms of our perceptions, though, that can generate depression and anxiety. So just something else to think about. Another point to see here in the last few verses of this chapter is that it's okay to change one's mind. Paul says that his original plan was to deliver the message in person. And while he reconsidered to not take this as a sign that neither he or God are inclined to be wavering, instead he decided not to return to Corinth to spare them from a rebuke. And, you know, again, that's something that we have to remember, is a lot of times we, like, a person could lie without necessarily having the label of being a liar. A person can change their mind without us dumping on them the label of they can't make up their mind. And I hope that makes some sense. But, you know, what we're talking about is a pattern of behavior. But would we really want to live in a world where everyone was so inflexible that they couldn't adapt to new information, new situations? You know, even the situation with God and Jonah and the people of Nineveh. You know, of course, Jonah got upset because God, you know, changed his position on what was going to happen. But then again, the people of Nineveh repented. And the way that they were able to repent was because Jonah delivered the message, which was all in God's plan. So just because we don't have all of the information that God has, you know, we don't get to say, okay, well, people shouldn't change their mind. So then we can be flexible, and we got to remember that rebuking and comforting don't go well together. So that's it for chapter one. So now we are going to move into chapter two. So Paul continues on at the beginning of this chapter with discussing his decision not to return to Corinth. And we read in verses 1 to 12, and just so you know, just like before, I was reading from the New Living Translation, and it reads as follows. So I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad but you whom I have grieved? I wrote as I did so that when I came, I would not be distressed by those who should have made me rejoice. I had confidence in all of you that you would all share my joy. For I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. First off, oh my goodness, from verse 1 to verse 4, we get a really good picture of Paul's state of mind with respect to writing a letter instead of making a visit. He says that if he had gone to Corinth during that time, it was going to be painful. It seems to me that he meant it would be painful for him and them. For those of you who used to get whippings as a kid like me, did you ever hear the adult say something like, "This is going to hurt me as much as it does you"? Yeah, right. That's what I used to think. But as I became an adult myself, I came to learn what they meant. Having grandchildren, nieces, and nephews that I've had to give bad reports to their parents. Yeah, I guess some people would say I was a snitch, because I will tell, because I don't want to see no kids go to jail when they become older. So I tell on them when they act up and their parents get them. So I understand better. It does not feel good to have to rebuke or discipline someone, and Paul felt this too. In fact, see here in verse 2 where he says, if he brought them grief, who would make him glad? And he answers, certainly not someone who he has grieved. You know, this makes me think about a conversation I've had with a few friends over the years about leaning on others. Have you ever noticed in friendships that there is one who leans and another who holds up? Ideally, it would be good in relationships where this is a two-way street that Paul describes is realized, but I'm thinking that things are not usually 50-50. Why is that? Perhaps it is God's way of making sure that we ultimately depend on him for support, because clearly Paul is describing a sort of quid pro quo where he recognizes that if he rocks their comfort, they are less likely to provide him comfort, which he acknowledges in verse 3, where he says they are a source of joy to him. His joy comes from them being joyful. We have to be careful here not to judge Paul. He's not saying what ought to be. He is just simply stating the facts of how things are. While we're on this, I think we have to always remember this principle when we're reading the Bible, especially books like Proverbs, where things are stated matter of fact, the way of the world that's being illuminated, not necessarily the way that God intended for things to be. Remember, scriptures can fall into either prescriptive, a prescription, do this, don't do that, or descriptive, describing how things were, historical, or how things, you know, are happen to be, like in Proverbs. So if you are the person who is always lending support to certain friends, it can be frustrating if you cannot turn to them for support. But know this, God is always there through the Holy Spirit, and if you really need it, he will send someone in the flesh. Or remember, there's always your blankies. I did hear from some of you talking about how much fun it was to snuggle up when I gave you that moment to do so with your blanket. I bet some of you still got those blankies out this week. All right, another thing that Paul did here in these first few verses was to clear the air. He put it all on the table, which brings me to the subject of this lesson. I can't believe that. We're getting to the subject of the lesson. It's about 5 minutes to go. Remember I said that I believe I was being led to identify one concept from each of these first three chapters of 2 Corinthians and build a how-to-live lesson from each. Well, recall for chapter 1, we just looked at comfort. Here in chapter 2, we're going to focus on getting clarity, which basically means we have to consider why clarity is needed. So where do you think I'm going with this? Yep, misunderstanding. Yep. When there are misunderstandings, these are the types of situations where clarity becomes essential. And what is another word for misunderstanding? That's right, conflict. You think one thing, the other person thinks something else, or do they? Well, for sure, Satan, the author of confusion, wants us to believe that we're at odds with another person. And since the conflicts that can cause the most damage are those that take place with people we are most close to, like family, friends, and co-laborers, we must find a way to navigate properly. Look at how carefully Paul treaded in this situation with the Church of Corinth. He absolutely sees them as important. He brings this out by saying that his joy is tied to them. I would like to say that I am like Paul, that when conflict rears its ugly head in my life, that I rise above it all, that I stop and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance on how to react, on what to say. But sadly, I do not do this enough. And it's funny. I'm up and down on this. When I stop and ask for guidance, the matter is resolved very quickly. And thinking that I have formed a good habit, I probably get a little, to the point where you start to get a little overconfident. And then time goes by, and when I am least on guard, bam, conflict pops up, and I get in the trap of speaking before thinking. I told you that one of the things I love about these teachings is that the Lord walks me through, and I am learning just like you are. I am not perfect. Nope, none are, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. Do you think you know everything? Can you read minds? Do you always say and do things exactly like the situation calls for? Here's another question. Do you have the final say about the outcome of every situation? Well, if the answer is no to any of those questions, this teaching on resolving conflict should be useful in equipping you to enjoy the plans that God has for you, as written in Jeremiah 29, a peace of a future to give you hope. Additionally, as we learn, we are better equipped for the work the Lord has set before us. Well, that's the introduction on our teaching on conflict. That's as far as I can get today. I've got to use my last few minutes not give you some homework as we move into this holy week. I know you all are going to be reflecting a lot on the Lord anyway. And so as you are thinking about him and being able and willing to do the work that he has set before you, I want you to reflect on this. If I had more time, I just want to say I would have enjoyed doing the conflict resolution workshop that I did in church when we studied the book of Acts. There are at least five different styles of handling conflict, and I was able to demonstrate through the word of God that Jesus modeled each one of them. Still, I think it's going to be a good exercise for you to reflect upon them. I've consolidated the five into three different ways. So I want you to consider, what is your go-to way of dealing with conflict? And so here are the choices. Fight. So do you fight as in compete? Do you flight as in run away or try to avoid it? Or do you try to find a way through compromise, accommodation, or reaching a consensus? Then I want you to meditate on whether this is working for you. How is it working for you? And if it isn't working for you, ask God to guide you, and he will. And again, there's a time for all of these, but we do have a dominant one that we tend to default to, which is, you know, again, we've got to be flexible. We have to make decisions and engage ourselves according to what's going on. 9:59, time to move into the service. I'm going to end with a prayer and then hand it off to Kathy. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we have had together. We know that today is Palm Sunday. We recognize the fickleness of our humanity, which leads us to evil and sin. But we know that Jesus died for us. Lord, we're just the kind of people, even today, who one week we're laying palms before your feet, and the next week we're yelling, crucify him, crucify him, ushering in the crucifixion. And we ask for forgiveness. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just show us the way, that this word that we sent on this morning, that you, it will penetrate into our hearts and our minds, and that we will consult you at our every turn. And we now ask that the service that's about to begin, that you will touch the hearts of all who will participate, have them say only what it is that you would have them say. And we love you from the bottom of our hearts, with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right,
Chad,
it's yours.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Rogers, for the lesson and comforting us on the lesson on comfort. And we can't wait to hear more on clarity, making it clear. Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right. We are going to go right into our service. And greetings, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. What do we say about Palm Sunday? No pain, no palm. No thorns, no throne. No gall, no glory. No cross, no crown. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Kleiber, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital And the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Our scripture reading today is Matthew 21:1-11. That's Matthew 21:1-11. And it is titled, Jesus' Triumphant Entry. Here reads the word of God. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowd replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who would take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, just bless the sick, the shut-in, and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and the preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings, Lord. We are just so grateful and so thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. All right. And now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Father, I just want to stop for a minute and just say I love you. Just want to tell you thank you just for being patient with me and just for giving me another chance. You've always been there for me, and you were the father that I never knew. I just want to say.
My hands were made to worship you.
Deeper than
Lord
Jesus.
My
soul can see.
Can see.
My purpose.
My purpose has been changed.
When I did this.
When I called out your name.
Do you love him? We're going to say that again. Just wave your hand and say, your touch. Jesus, your kiss. And your grace. Your grace to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus is deeper than. Bless your name. My soul can see. Let me tell you what happened.
My
it changed.
Has been changed.
When I got down on my knees.
When I called
out your name.
Your name.
Anybody here love my Father?
My
I said anybody here love my Father?
My
is it worth it? Come on. I give you
my love,
and I give you
my all.
And when
this world
has come
to win
and paradise, when I see your face, when you call for me, Father, you'll wipe every tear, Father.
Begin.
And this is what he'll say.
Welcome.
You'll say.
When I see your face.
How many want to see him someday? Oh, don't play with me. How many of you want to see him one day? Open up your mouth and say hallelujah.
Couldn't think of a better song to begin this worship experience. Amen. With amen. You know, it's you heard Deaconess June Rogers mention it. It's what we call Holy Week. Amen. It's that Sunday that we call Palm Sunday. You'll find more about it in Zechariah 9:9, where he prophesies that your king will come riding to you on a colt. Amen. The foal of a donkey. And you heard Deaconess Kathy Clyburn read that in the scripture reading. Imagine what it was like for Jesus this week. Imagine what you would feel like if you knew. They didn't know. He had told his disciples 3 times, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. But on the 3rd day, I'm going to get back up. But they didn't seem to hear that part. They went to figuring out who was going to replace Jesus. And one time Peter even told Jesus, don't even say stuff like that. One person in John chapter 10 or 12 put his hands around Jesus' neck and said, how can you say that the Messiah will be lifted up? They meant to be crucified when they all believed that the Messiah would come, rule, and reign forever. Amen. So imagine what it was like for Jesus in this human body with the anxiety, with fears. Amen. To know that you have 1 week to go. Amen. The next Sunday, if he kept looking the next Sunday, he knew he was getting back up, but he had to get through Thursday night, Friday, Saturday to get to Sunday. But he had to go through this whole week. You know how sometimes when something is coming up that you don't really like, don't really want to go through, don't really want to have nothing to do with? Well, think about Jesus. Yes, they call it the triumphal entry. Yes, they did strew palms, and yes, they even took off their clothes and laid them in the way. They were fulfilling scripture. That your king. Why is he riding on a colt? Why not a stallion? Why not a busty steed? Because he comes to you humble, lowly, meek, and mild. He comes with a face of determination. This week is not frightening him, but it is concerning him. Because we're going to see him Friday. We call it Good Friday. I think it's called Good Friday because Jesus decided, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. To me, hallelujah, that makes him worthy. Let's sing like we happy about it. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. On yesterday, Minister or Associate Pastor Janine Folks preached about that blood, the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, get a chance, go to our church website and click on Blog Talk Radio, the player, and listen to it. Amen. She talked about that blood, amen, that Jesus shed for us. And again, we're on our way. You know, we have nothing to really be sad about on this week. I mean, I know we like to play the part, but Jesus got up, and we all know that. We don't have to act like he didn't get up. We already know he got up. But it's good for us because how you get the perfect peace, here's the formula. He said, don't worry about anything. That's Philippians 4, start at 6. He said, don't worry about nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Now, here's the part you want to hear. Remember what God has done. Amen. I mean, just look back over your life and remember what God has done. Amen. That's the formula for getting to perfect peace. So we're looking back. All this week, we're going to look back on Monday. What was Jesus doing Monday? If you get my first book, Jesus Christ from His Birth to His Ascension, I had to painstakingly go through the events that took place from the Last Supper all the way up to His Ascension. Amen. If you get a chance, get a copy of it and read it, and you'll get as close to a blow-by-blow, event-by-event, day-by-day, amen, description of what Jesus went through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we know Thursday he got arrested after that, after they had that communion and went over to the garden. Amen. He got arrested. And then he was taken to Annas, who was Caiaphas. He wasn't the current high priest. He was the previous high priest. And Caiaphas was current high priest, but they took him to Annas first. And then right around early in the morning, Friday morning, they took him to Caiaphas. And after that, they took him to the Romans. And we know after the Romans got through with him, they put him on an old rugged cross. Amen. And I'm telling you, Jesus deserves for us to wake up like, I will not let a bird outpraise me. You remember when Jesus said the birds don't have refrigerators? The birds don't put on a hat and go to work, okay? Amen. They don't even have a house like we do. A bird will wake up singing and ain't got nothing in the refrigerator. A bird will wake up singing, ain't got a dime to bank. A bird will wake up expecting, I'm already preaching. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you that the Lord deserves our praise, not that funny-looking face. Amen.
Come on, everybody. Open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room. Open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song. Come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah.
Say it, church. You deserve it. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord. You deserve it, Lord. Yeah.
You deserve it.
All of the glory.
All of the glory.
everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs.
Y'all got it now? Come on, say it. All of the glory belongs. Everybody, come on with confidence.
Hallelujah. My hands are lifted. My hallelujah and glory belong to you. You deserve it, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns. There is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Dr. Nico Gaston, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Dr. Nico Gaston. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
I know that it seems sometimes that no matter what you do, and no matter how hard you work, striving to make things better in your life, but for some reason you're not getting nowhere. Well, I want you to turn to the one next to you and tell them, you tried your way, it didn't work, no. You put him second,
second, yeah,
and put you first.
Oh, yeah.
You trusted friends, thought they had your back.
Oh, oh.
And every time you turn around, it seems you're under attack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But turn to your neighbor and say, see, the devil is alive. No, I'm not gonna die. It's okay to cry, cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit, cause he's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh. Hold up. Job.
Hallelujah.
Your bills are due, and all the people you helped did not want to help you. I talked to my mother,
she said, pray about.
I talked to my pastor,
she said, pray about.
But I was so blinded by all my disaster. I wish you would just tell your neighbor, tell them for me. See, the devil is a liar. No, you're not gonna die. It's okay to cry, cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit, y'all. He's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh. I was in my own way, but I'm here to tell you, without his grace I'm a major failure. So if you got problems, know that you can't fix it. Just give it to Jesus. How can I get a witness and tell him, say, if the devil is a liar, you gotta listen to the Spirit. Whoa. Trying to get your attention right now.
I'm trying to tell you something.
I know you got your own plan, but God's got a better one. No.
Good morning, Blog Talk listeners. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three gather together as his followers, the Lord is there amongst us. Thank you, Jehovah Shammah, for being there amongst us. Let us pray. Father God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. Father God, we thank you for a new mercy on today. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies begin afresh each morning. For your mercies never cease, and we thank you, Lord, for your faithful love that never ends. Thank you, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness, for delivering us from our sins and from ourselves. Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and called us to intercede for others. Lord, help all in a position of authority to humble themselves, to walk in honesty and integrity, and above all, godliness instead of being prideful. Father God, let them never forget all that you do for us daily. Lord, help them to live their lives in testimony to your incredible blessings so that your love may be known and experienced by all, especially the ones under their authority. Lord, mankind still struggles with being kind to one another, not treating each other with decency, love, and respect. Help us to love each other like Christ loves us. Oh, Lord, please bring us together as we are meant to be. May we also forgive one another, as it is sometimes difficult to do. Replace the hate with love. May our love only grow stronger as we fulfill the destiny you have laid out for us. Lord, you said in John 17:21, I pray they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Lord, help mankind become more like you. Lord, we understand there may be more dark days ahead, still so many uncertainties. Heavenly Father, please shine your light upon mankind. Give us strength to overcome all the difficulties that we are dealing with now and protect us against all problems we may encounter in the future. Lord, we thank you for being our strength and our shield. Our hearts trust in you, Lord, and we are helped. Our hearts exalt, and with our songs, we give thanks to you. Blog Talk listeners, let us not forget, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Thank you, Father God, for your inexpressible gift, your Son. Blog Talk listeners, hear the Lord's voice. Harden not your hearts and understand today is the day of salvation. We know that it is not the will of the Lord for any to perish, and all should come to repentance. Lord, sustain us with the hope of our salvation and the other countless blessings you provide with your continuous presence in our lives. Father God, you are the light of the world. Because we follow you, we do not have to walk in darkness. We will have the light that leads to life. Thank you, Lord, for you are good. Your unfailing love continues forever, and your faithfulness continues to each generation. I say to all, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, be rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught. Abounding in thanksgiving. Lord, you are God, our Savior. Thank you, Father God. We ask you to save and to set free all on today. Lord, we pray to you, our Father in heaven. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
my life. I say thank you. Just want to thank you. I must, I shall say thank you. Oh, thank you. Hey, thank you. Just want to say thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. I want to thank Sister Gaston for praying and making our requests known to God. We appreciate you. And thank you for Jesus. Boy, I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. And as we continue, I like to say thank you for allowing me to serve as your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to us and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. Icing on the cake, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess, Dr. June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Sister Deacon June Rogers coming her own way and introduce our speaker. Amen.
I won't stop. was gone to where I carried him. And even when it hurted him the most, he still had faith in his car. Let him lift his voice and declare.
Amen. Amen. Wow. I don't know if you were like me, but I was just basking in that. I mean, we know that the word says that, you know, we sometimes make groanings and moanings and the Holy Spirit will intercede. And to me, that song just kind of seemed like one of those songs. You know, he will come through. He will not let you down. And we need to praise and we need to worship our Father. And I noticed that when that happens, it seems like there's a breakthrough in the spirit realm, and then there's a breakthrough in our lives. So just remember that, you know, our help comes from the Lord. So again, good morning. Welcome, everyone. This is certainly, if I had to throw a theme on what's happened so far, is that we should all be in a state of gratitude for what God has done for us and blessing us the way that he does. Pastor is going to speak this morning on the topic of blessed in a famine, and he's asked me to read Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 6, and then to continue on with verses 12 through 15, also in chapter 26 of Genesis. I will be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, "A severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, and instructions.' So Isaac stayed in Gerar." Verses 12 through 15. "When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham." This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. And what blessed people of God we are. The blessings of God are here for the taking. Romans 14 tells us the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we join together this morning from many nations and of vast distances, all on one accord. We are here to worship and praise God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and our Savior, as well as the Holy Ghost. A form of worship is hearing the word of God and being obedient to it, to him. So let us fix our hearts on the word from Genesis 26 and the message God has given the messenger about how to be blessed in a famine. Remember, this word has been tailored just for you. Not only that, but Pastor O has been handpicked by God to deliver this message to you this day. Jeremiah 3:15 says that God will give us shepherds after his own heart who will lead us with knowledge and understanding. So God has done his part. Let us do our part as we draw near to hear from the shepherd God has given to Runner for Christ Ministries. Please let us welcome and encourage him by repeating this after me. Make sure you do it loud, too. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Drew and Rogers. I really appreciate that. And as I always say, I love to look forward to how the Lord's going. What is he going to do with you to encourage me? Amen. And I hate to sound selfish, but he knows me and he knows what I need to hear. And that fixes me right up. So thank you for being intentional.
Amen.
Even though you didn't know. Amen. Tell my boy Ray I say what's up. Amen.
Amen.
Go out on the water and get me a big old giant baby shark fish. Amen. God bless. Amen. God bless each and every one of you today. And let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we're going to pretend all this week like Jesus ain't got up. We're going to act like he's here today and he's getting ready to go through Passion Week for us. And Father, we know that each day he went through the anxiety and the fear that caused him when in the garden to sweat drops of blood. He was that anxious. He even said right there, my soul is sorrowful unto death. Father, we're so thankful. We're so happy because Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And even came back the second time and prayed, Father, since the cup can't be taken away, then fix me to be able to do what I need to do so that everybody who believes in me can be saved. So, Father, we're going to walk through Monday with Jesus, and Sunday we're going to this triumphal entry, and then we're going to go through Monday, and then we're going to go through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to stand with him in the garden while he's arrested, and then, Father, we're going to follow him as he goes to Annas, and then we're going to follow him over to Caiaphas. We're going to watch them pull hair right out of his face, spit on him, blindfold him, and hit him in the face and say, prophesy, who hit you? And, Lord, that was before he gets to the Romans. So, Father, we going to go with him because he came here to go for us. So the least we could do is go with him and remember that our salvation is not cheap. It costs you, your only begotten son, so that you could be in relationship with us. How much is that worth? How much are we worth? Father, our self-esteem is through the roof because you are willing to pay that much for us. And as far as we're concerned, Lord, we're just a handful of birds in a case that it's not really worth nothing. We're a bunch of sparrows, not even worth a penny. But to you, we're worth your son. We thank you for loving us like that. We didn't make you love us. We didn't convince you to love us. Adam and Eve, sure enough, didn't convince you to love them. They ran away from you. As soon as the devil started talking, they was all in. Meaning they was all in before he even started talking. But you've been so intentional about saving every soul you can from one generation to the next. And here we are at Palm Sunday. They call it the triumphal entry, but we know, Jesus, that's just what man tagged it. We know that you will make your triumphal entry when you come from heaven with your whole church and with all the saints that died during the tribulation period and got glorified bodies. They're going to come and reign with you for 1,000 years. That's a triumphal entry. This is an entry into the purchase of our salvation. And yes, you will culminate in a triumph, but that won't be till Sunday. But, Lord, we're going to act like it's Sunday already. Lord, bless this word to go out to your people. Bless them to receive this word. We're down here going through it. We're down here going through pandemics, things we've never seen before unless we've been here since 1918. But you know, Lord, this is not the first time this has happened on earth. It happened a number of times. Took out 2 million people one time. Half the people who lived on the planet was gone. So, Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. You told us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. Human beings didn't make us. They can't care for us. They can't provide for us. We don't even know what's wrong and what we need, but you do. So help us from this word, Father, to get that so that we can shine as bright lights in the world, so people see our good deeds, so people sense our saltiness. And give glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray, let us get it. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears to hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to change my mind, to change my thinking by reading your word and adapting it to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, today I want to talk to you about being blessed in a famine. That don't even sound right. Blessed in a famine. How are you blessed in a famine? Amen. Only God, only Jesus can bless in a famine. Only Jesus can cause you to prosper 100 times over in a famine. We all know what a famine is, right? It is a scarcity of something. Amen. On a wide scale. Amen. We know that famines have happened in the Bible more than once. We remember Abraham in the song we just listened to. Jacqueline Carr say, Father, I remember Abraham. And even in the beginning of this passage, a severe famine now struck the land as happened before in Abraham's time. Y'all remember when the Lord told Abraham to get up from your comfort zone. Get up from your comfort people, your kindred and your acquaintance. Get up and go to a place I'll show you. Amen. So step number one to be blessed in a famine, amen, is to make sure that you're doing what God said to be blessed in a famine. Amen. Because when God told Abraham to get up, amen, from among your kindred and your acquaintance and your family and your friends and go to a place that I'll show you, guess what happened when he got there? He ran straight into a famine. Now, we don't know how long it was before Abraham made that decision to go down to Egypt. And we all know what happened when he made that decision. We don't know how many folks he watched die. We don't know how many bellies of kids he watched swell before he came to the conclusion that, yes, this is the place that God called me to, but ain't no food here. And if God says the whole earth is going to be blessed through me, he don't mind if I go down to Egypt. Because if we stay here, we're going to wipe out. And God did not appear to Abraham the second time and say, don't go to Egypt, like he told Isaac. I appeared to Isaac and told him, don't go to Egypt. You want that kind of relationship with the Lord. You know, I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this morning, amen, and he was talking about mature Christians. He was talking about folks who, he was talking to about the Corinthians. And see, the book that Deaconess June Rogers is teaching right now, when these people got this letter, they were five-year-old Christians. Tony Evans and a whole bunch of Bible scholars agree that a person joins the church, they should become a mature Christian in 5 years. We know Jesus did it in 3 years. Does that mean they're going to become perfect Christians doing it? No. Amen. I mean, you're an adult right now, right? You're mature, or should be, amen. Are you perfect? No. But you are what? Mature. There are some things that you don't do now that you did when you were children. Amen? Well, okay, prayerfully, that is all of us, but we know sometimes it ain't. Some folks is 90 years old, act like they 10. Amen? Just silly. Ain't nothing sillier than seeing a whole grown man. That's the way they're saying it nowadays, whole grown. A whole grown man running around with his hat twisted sideways. One of his pants leg up and the other one down like he LL Cool J when he first got started. Amen. There comes a time that we need to mature. Now, why am I talking to you about this? You want to develop your relationship with God. You want to be able to know that I am moving. Why? Because I've acknowledged my, as you heard Deaconess Kathy Clyburn says, at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital that in all your ways you acknowledge him. And he will what? Direct your path, just like he did for Isaac right here. Don't go down to Egypt, okay, like Abraham did. You stay right here. Now, I don't read what Isaac said, but Lord, there's a famine going on around here. And before I was born, my daddy told me he ran into one when he was here, and people died. What are you telling me to stay here in this famine for? Lord, there is a scarcity of food here. But you want that kind of relationship. You want to mature. James said it over in his book. You know, that's Jesus' brother, right? And James was called James the Just because of his strict adherence to Judaism. And Jesus finally got James to come on board because in John chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, the family wasn't on board. And when we look at Mark 3 and 21, the family thought Jesus had got beside himself. But now James is on team. And James has become the pastor of that ultra-conservative church in Jerusalem. So James, in A.D. 49, one of the first books penned, Galatians and James, okay, he sits down and he begins to write. And he says in James 4 and verse 8, he says, come near to God, and he'll come near to you. You know how you come near to God? Oh, Bible study. Oh, home Bible study. Sunday school, listening to Bible teachers and preachers, good ones, amen, Bible-based ones, not them ones who got the church all fluffed up and immature now, amen. All they look for is blessings and breakthroughs. Can I say something, Jesus said I can sidebar on this because he kind of tired of us getting this blessing and breakthrough thing all mixed up. Plain and simple, I want to tell you right now. When you got saved, you got all the blessings, you got all the breakthroughs you will need from earth to heaven. Amen? If you go read, look, if you look at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says that word blessed there means happy are you. He says, so if you say, Lord Jesus, I need a blessing. Jesus is going to say, oh, the Holy Ghost is going to tell you to go over to Matthew chapter 5. And he says, read where Jesus said how to be blessed. See, the problem is we don't want those blessings. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who mourn. They're going to become blessed out of me. We don't want that. What we want is material stuff. Come on now. We in the church. We're going to be honest today. Are we going to tell the truth in church and shame the devil? Amen. We want material stuff. That's what blessings are to us. Blessings are not pure in heart. So you can see God. Blessings are not mourning over sin and the terribleness of it so one day you can be relieved of it. Righteousness is not, amen, that's not something we seek. We seek blessings. What we are, Jesus said, wait a minute, what'd you say, Jesus? Retarded Christianity? Yeah, that's backwards Christianity. See, what you're talking about, blessings in that context, is over in Matthew chapter 6. Where Jesus said, hey, if you want food, if you want clothes, if you want water, the material stuff of life, well, hey, if you want the desires of your heart and some of your wants met too, well, then seek ye first, above all else, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all that stuff we call blessings get added to you. Amen? So that's not what we're talking about. Blessings are, James summed it all up in his book. James talked a lot in his book, only wrote 4 or 5 chapters. But James said a lot, said a mouthful. In James 1 and 25, he says, amen, look into the word of God intently, not letting it fall open, and that's where you start reading. You're already gone wrong. He says, look intently, intentionally, amen, into the word of God, to see how God wants us to live in our personal, our family, our church, and civic life. So we look intently into the word of God that what brings freedom from error. And he says, continue in it. Don't just, I used to read the Bible, but I don't read no more. I used to believe this, but I don't believe no more. I need to get back into my Bible. You ever hear somebody say that? You know, I've even heard people say, you know, I ain't prayed in a long time. I don't know how you get through a day without praying, and the devil around here, amen, seeking who he can devour. The devil around here trying to kill, steal, and destroy because that's all he do. I ain't prayed in a month. James said, continue in it. And then James says, don't forget what you read. Don't forget what you heard. So number one, he says first you need to look intently, intentionally into the word of God. Then James says you need to continue in the word of God. Amen. You can't start going to Bible class, then don't go no more. You ever know somebody who used to go to Bible class, who used to go to church? They ain't continuing in it. Amen. Look, you need to do all this to get to the end. And when we get to the end, everybody wants to be, raise your hand if you want to be blessed. Okay, I'm going to tell you the rest of it. Amen. So you look intently first. Now look, if you ain't going to Bible class, you ain't going to, you don't even teach your kids the Bible. Come on, but you love Jesus. You ain't continuing in the Bible. It was hot when you got saved. But now it's kind of cold. Just lay on the table so it can hold it down and impress your friends when they come in the nice, pretty Bible. Ain't got no cracks in it. Pages ain't never been bent. Be proud of that. The Lord say continue in it. And then the Lord says, amen, don't forget what you heard. You know how many folks go to church, hear a sermon, get out in the parking lot, and now they fussing with somebody because they ain't moving out the lot fast enough. They ain't come to church to get anything. They came to church to appease God. They act like pagans. They come to church so they could throw something on the fire to please the gods. Amen. Well, God ain't pleased. Amen. If you walk right out the church, can't even remember what the pastor preached, can't remember what the Sunday school teacher said, and God ain't pleased. You ain't walking toward a blessing. Amen. You walking right back into the mess you came out of before you went to church. Look out, somebody. Somebody just got touched. Jesus touched you. He touched me. He trying to make you whole. Amen. Okay, now, you're looking intently, right, into the word of God. What if Isaac did not listen to God intently? And what if he listened intently but didn't continue in what he heard? And what if Isaac forgot what God said about not going down to Egypt? Just forgot. Had a conversation with the Lord, turned around, and forgot. James said, God don't deal with folks like that. Why? Because they look at their face in the mirror and turn around and forget what they look like. Amen. That's unstable. God don't deal with unstable people. But then the Lord says, if you look intently, if you continue in it, if you don't forget what you heard, number four, do it. None of the rest of it, the intent look don't mean nothing. Okay, the continuing don't mean nothing. Okay, and just because you did not forget, you still remember the sermon in the parking lot, but you ain't intending to do any of it. You ain't even planning to add it to your personal, your family, your civic, or your church life. Ain't going to make no changes. Then you won't be blessed. Because Jesus says, if you look intently, continue in it, don't forget what you heard, and do it, guess what he say? Then you'll be blessed. Amen. Now, if Isaac wants to be blessed in this famine, and did you notice that God, I love the Lord's promises. God Almighty, I love reading God's promises. Why? Because he's going to do everything. Listen to what the Lord said. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. That means Isaac might have had another idea. You ever have another, you ever read the word of God and have another idea? Don't you remember Abraham and Sarah had another idea, and that idea turned out to be Ishmael? God told Abraham, now, you know, you got to understand that God told Abraham first. Then Abraham probably told Sarah. But somehow they got it into their heads that they was way too old for God to bring about what God said he would do. So they came up with a plan. Amen. So God tells us clearly what to do. In all our ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? He has promised to direct our pathways. That's why you need to get to know this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Because guess what? You probably going to end up somewhere and you ain't got a Bible in your hand. So how you going to know which way to go? I'm telling you how to be blessed in a famine. When you make God your central concern, and when you sit there and listen intently, and when you, amen, continue in what he said, and when you don't forget what he said, and when you do what he said, guess what? It doesn't matter if you're in a famine. You're right where God wanted you. When God told Joseph to go down to Egypt, And when Joseph finally got out of 13 years of fake jail, well, it wasn't fake for him, but it was fake for him being in there. It was accused of rape. Y'all know the story. Anyway, he comes out of jail. The Lord certainly gives him a plan. At age 30, God gives him a plan to not only bless Egypt during the 7 years. Imagine that. You in the scarcity of money for 7 years. Uh-oh. You hearing me now, ain't you? You got a scarcity empty refrigerator for 7 years. See, a famine sometimes can last a long time. But guess what? As soon God didn't tell Joseph, you know, I'm going to have to rescue you from Egypt. They finna go through a 7 year famine. No, Joseph was faithful to God. Even though he was going through all this stuff, 13 years of jail, he never lost his faith. He never gave up praising God. Why? Because when Pharaoh's wife tried to get with him, he said, I can't do my Lord like that. When he was tossed in the jail and wrongfully tossed in the jail, Peter talks about that when we have to suffer even though we're doing good. He never lost his faith in God. He kept trusting, leaning, and relying on the Lord. And guess who showed up with a plan to get Egypt through the famine? Jesus did. He said, look here, Joseph, this is what I need you to do. I need you to collect this much from the people, and I need you to put it away. And guess who, in the time of a famine, was selling to everybody else in the world? Egypt was. And guess who God had placed in charge of Egypt? Even Pharaoh didn't know it, but over him, Joseph. Why? God said, this is what I need you to do. And he did it. Amen? And see, when you enter into a scarcity of a job, scarcity of food and refrigerator, today a whole lot is going on in our world, and we don't have what we used to have, and we could lose what we do have instantly, and we know that now. Your job could tell you you can't come in tomorrow because everybody infected. You could be on unemployment, and then you've got to wait on Washington to get it together, but Isaac didn't have to wait on nobody. Isaac heard what the Lord said. Isaac did what the Lord said, and, oh, Lord have mercy. Amen. I told you a little while ago I love serving the Lord. He told him, don't go down to Egypt. He said, live here as a foreigner in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. See, you need to, that's why you want that mature relationship with the Lord. You want to be able to hear from him. You want to be able to discern from the four voices we hear every day. Every single day we got to contend with them. One voice is the world's voice. When in Rome, do like the Romans do. What would the world do? The world does it this way. And you hear that voice. And then you hear the voice of the devil. The devil, that voice that popped up in that snake and Adam and Eve had to deal with in the garden, you hear his voice talking about, or Jesus, when he was out there in the wilderness, the devil pop up. You got to deal with his voice telling, you can always tell when it's the devil and yourself or the world. You can tell why it's opposite of God. The devil is never going to come God's way, telling you to do what God say. Never. He's going to always, that's why you have to know the word of God. So when the devil come talking to you about his stuff, see, Adam and Eve knew the word of God, but they ain't continue in it. You see how important it is to continue in it? You can't just hear like Adam did what God said. You got to continue in what God said. You've got to not get to talking to the devil and forget what God said, okay? And then when the devil come and tell you God's a liar and this tree going to make your life so much better, you've got to tell the devil, hey, I'm going to do what God said and not eat from this tree so I can be blessed. But it didn't go that way, did it? And what happened? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. What if he left? What if he was like King Saul? Remember that? Samuel say, Saul, stay here. I'm going away for 7 days. I'm going to come back. We're going to do a sacrifice, and we're going to see what the Lord wants us to do. Well, 6 days went by. Samuel hadn't showed up. Seventh day came. Samuel still hadn't got there. And Saul is looking at his men slipping off like, oh, dude, I got to go check. I think I left a pot on. And other people just walking off because they scared to death of the Philistines that's massing up against them. And the Bible says Saul, looking at all of this, felt compelled. He told Samuel after he had completely failed, because right after he appointed himself a priest and started offering a sacrifice, which you know in the book of Leviticus and Exodus and Leviticus, God told him, no, nobody come up in here acting like this or they're going to die. Okay, now he done, out of fear, he felt compelled to do something else. What if Isaac had felt compelled to go down to Egypt, even though God was telling him not to? Even though God had clearly told him what to do. Amen. Saul went on and did the sacrifice, and then Samuel showed up. And he lost everything. Samuel told Saul, God would have established your kingdom and your family line forever, just like he did for David. But he didn't obey. He did not. He heard the word. For a little while, he continued in the word for about six, even up to the seventh day. Okay? But he didn't continue in the word. And then on the seventh day, he didn't do it. Amen? And he didn't get the blessing. Amen? What do you think it would have been like for Isaac if he had not done what God told him to do and had gone down to Egypt? You know, I want you to hear the rest of this. Live here as the foreigner in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. Isaac says nothing. I hereby confirm that I'll give you all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, why is God going to do this? I want y'all to hear this. Don't you miss this. If you want to know how to be blessed in a famine, I know it's a lot going on in our world. Hey, but I ain't bragging at all. But my wife and I have increased in these bad times. Amen? And we're retired. But we've increased. God has increased us in these bad times. I've been listening to him and not them. Listen to what the Lord says in verse 5. I will do this because Abraham listened to me. Did y'all hear that song? I love it when Nico Gaston pray. When Dr. Gaston come on to pray, that's two songs I ain't got to worry about because she want one before and after she pray. Did y'all hear Marvin say, listen to me? Listen. Oh, Lord have mercy. She didn't know what I was preaching. Amen. But that just let her know that song was given to her by the Holy Ghost to help me preach. I will do this because he what? Listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, and instructions. Number one, he knew them all. Oh, Lord have mercy. How you going to obey God if you don't know what God said? How many of y'all sitting there right now ain't even read the New Testament? But you acknowledging him in all your ways, in your personal, family, church, and civic life. How? You don't know what he said. See, the devil tricking. Now, look, I ain't telling nobody they are not saved. But what I am saying is you ain't that close to Jesus. You ain't that mature. It's the word of God that matures us. How do we mature? Even when black folks couldn't go to school, their parents started teaching them whatever they could. So that my father used to say all the time, who had to leave school in the eighth grade, I'm doing this so that when I leave here, you will be able to take care of yourself and your mama. He taught us everything. And I'm so thankful that he did. Amen. God says, I'll do this because you listened to me, because you knew my requirements and obeyed them, because you knew my commands and obeyed them. You knew my decrees and carried them out, and you knew my instructions and you followed them. How do you think the Lord feel when he know that you've been in the church for however long and you ain't even read the whole Bible, but you always telling people how much you love Jesus? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Guess what? After God got through talking, Isaac said, so Isaac stayed in Gerar. He stayed there, even though there was a famine. But Lord, how I'm going to eat? It doesn't say he asked the Lord, but how I'm going to eat? Don't even say that. He did what God told him to do. Look, all we don't have to worry about how God going to do what God said God going to do. Jesus going to do what Jesus said he's going to do. And we ain't got to worry about that. That's his problem. We just need to make sure that we looked intently or listened intently to what he said. We have to be willing to continue in it no matter how long we have to wait for it. We cannot forget that he said it because circumstances and situations is erasing our memories. And we've got to do it when the time comes. We've got to make the choice to do what he said. In verse 6, his time came to make the choice to do what God said, and he said, so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Now watch the blessing. When Isaac planted his crops that year, don't you know people was probably looking at him and saying, look at that fool over there. He don't even know it's a famine. Is he out of his mind? What does he plan for? What does he even expect to harvest? It's a famine. It's sort of like when Noah was building that boat. Can you imagine? Y'all know how we are. There was people like we people. Can y'all imagine how we are? I want to say to the folks who are listening on your computer, you're going to lose me in about 60 seconds. But you can hear the entirety of this message after it's done. All you have to do is go to our church website, amen, and click on Blog Talk Radio Player, and you can hear the end of this message. But those of you who are on the phone, just keep on listening on. Amen. Now, Noah did what God said. Started building a boat, and it's not stated that he lived near the water. Or what did they have to launch the boat with? Even if he did live near the water, how would Noah, his sons, three of them, and his wife, one, and their three wives, eight people in total, how are they going to launch a big old giant steamliner? So you know his neighbors was coming around here like, we don't need to hassle Noah. He crazy. He out of his mind. He's nuts. Amen. People look at you when you tell them, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm leaning and relying on him. He said, cast my cares on him. I've just lost my job. And I never forget when Avitris Cowan, one of our executive board members, amen, when she was working in Ann Arbor at the time, and the place where she was always in an uproar about being sold. And folks who she said was Christians were scarier than pagans. And they wondered, to her, how are you so comfortable? How are you so calm? She just believed God would. Whereas they were all tore up from the floor up, supposedly Christians belonging to mega churches, amen, she was comfortable. She was calm. She was trusting the Lord. That makes a huge difference. See, she knew, cast your cares on him because he cared for you. The Lord knows things we have need of even before we ask him. She knew that. It have looked like she was crazy to the rest of them. No, she wasn't crazy. She was trusting Jesus. She knew Jesus gave her that job. He's going to give her another one. Then he took her to West Virginia and gave her a job there and then brought her right back here and been employed ever since. I remember Pastor Jonathan Tate. Boy, got almost double masters. Couldn't get a job at McDonald's. Couldn't get a job nowhere for 19 months. He had to wait on the Lord to see which way this thing was going to go. Amen. But he will tell you that even though he didn't have nothing, amen, even he was tore, his finances tore up from the floor up, guess what? God kept him. He'll tell that testimony proudly. Amen. He kept on serving the Lord. Kept on preaching the word, kept on teaching the word, and then God released him from the 19-month holdup, and it started raining, and the crops started growing. Amen. So Isaac planted his crops that year in a famine when nothing else is growing, and he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted. For the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds and cattle and servants, that the Philistines became jealous of him. So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. And, of course, those were the ones that Abraham had previously dug. Now, I want to read you verse 16, amen, because, see, everybody ain't going to like it when God, amen, bless you. They tore up from the flow up, and they in the same situation, and God gonna bless you like that, and they still tore up. Finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you've become too powerful for us. And later on, Abimelech came back to Isaac because the Lord made room for them. The Lord, finally, they dug a well, they found some water, and they didn't have to fight over it. There was no Esek. There was no contention, no battle for it, right? Amen. So finally, the Lord had made room for him. Oh, wow. You listen to what God says. He'll make you outgrow where you are right now. You won't even be able to stay there because you'll be too much for it. Amen. Amen. That's how you be blessed. That's how you're blessed in a famine. And we are sure enough, thank you, man. We are sure enough in a famine right now. Amen. But if we look to the Lord to see what he has to say for us to do right now, and if we do what the Lord, see, that's why you cast your cares on him. That's why you acknowledge all your ways to him. He will. He has promised. He said he would. Call him on it. Say, Jesus, you said if I acknowledge you in all my ways, you will show me which way to go. I know you're going to keep your word. Thank you, Jesus. And wait for those instructions. You'll see folks in the Bible all the time saying, Lord, should we go up and fight them kites? The Amalekites, the Jebusites, and the other sites, and all the rest of them. Should we go up and fight them? And they would wait. They would listen. And Jesus would say, go up, but go up this way. Amen. So you want to be blessed. Amen. In this famine where there's a scarcity of, I don't know what your scarcity is, family, friends, clothes, food, water, whatever it is. Amen. Find out what the Lord said, how we're supposed to be conducting ourselves. Let the Lord let the Lord's word guide you. Amen. Start going to Bible class. Start attending Sunday school. And most importantly, spend some one-on-one time with Jesus. Yeah, corporate worship, corporate Bible class, corporate Bible study, all of that stuff is good. But Jesus loves it. Amen. When you get one-on-one with him, you crack that Bible open. Ain't nobody in that room. Ain't nobody in that house but you. And you and the Holy Spirit. And when you start reading, only the Holy Spirit can give you what's called illumination. And that's what he wants to give you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. You have shown us that you've done it before and you'll do it again. Just like your son Ty Tribbett wrote in the song you gave him, if you did it before, you will do it again. And we're encouraged by that. Father, there's a scarcity of a whole lot of stuff going on in the world today. Whatever our shortage is, we know, Heavenly Father, that just like you did it for Isaac, you gave him a word that blessed him 100 times over. I know that you can do the same thing today. Give us your word that shows us which way to go, that will get us that 100-fold blessing. You said, Jesus, in this life, is that if we would give up all of these things and make sacrifices so that we can serve you in this world before we come home, okay, for your kingdom's sake. If we do that, you said, Jesus, out of your mouth, that we would have in this life 100-fold blessing just like Isaac. Amen. And what comes with eternal life in heaven. So that's what we want, Jesus. We calling you on your word. Just like your daughter, Jacqueline Carr, she said, it's manifestation time, Lord. Lord, we need you to show up. We need to shine as bright lights in the world and do good deeds by helping folks in and outside the body of Christ. So, Jesus, they see our good deeds and give glory to you. Know that God is working through us to bless them. Help us, Jesus, to remain salty in the world, so that we make life a little bit more palatable. And so we preach this gospel, which is so preserving. Help us, Lord. We ain't got but a few days left to serve you, Jesus. Let us do what the psalmist said. Lord, teach us to number each day you give us. And Lord, help us to apply our hearts to wisdom. And wisdom is your word. You said over there through the Proverbs, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of you, knowledge of your word. Give us wisdom, Lord, so we can see our way no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Chris, I don't know why you ain't stopped me. I blame you. You ain't stopped me. You just let me keep right on going. You know, you should have said, open my mic. Open my mic. But you ain't say that. I ain't hear that.
I opened my mouth because I'm listening to this word, and I'm like, ooh, okay, check. Ooh, okay, convicted. Ooh, two checks next to that one. Okay, I'm just going to scratch this one out because I'm just a heathen on that one. So, I mean, this word is a reminder word, and the Holy Spirit just kept bringing back to me, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Doing what God has told you to do is better than anything that you may feel like you're sacrificing. Because when you do things the Lord's way, he gives you back what you feel like you've lost a million times over. You know, to obey the word of the Lord. I mean, he didn't just, like I tell my son all the time, you know, when you're stressed about something, you worried about something, you concerned about something, pray. Talk to the Lord, because we don't play church. You know, we serve a real, true, living God who can fix any potential issue that you could ever think that you could come up with. You know, so we can't just be playing church. We can't just, you know, think that there's just this invisible person that we talk to who doesn't hear us. Absolutely not. The word of God is the living word of God. And when you apply things to your life that the word says, you get what God said. You've always taught us at Run for Christ Ministries, the word, if you do, I will. That's the Lord said. If you do, then I will. And we know that people will break our hearts. People won't keep their word. They won't do what they say. But God never breaks his promises to us. And so when we do what he says and we obey him, anything that we feel like we're giving up will come back to us. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, all of the things that we feel like we're sacrificing are things that he will give to us. We just went over 1 Kings, the first, you know, 15 or 16 chapters, where, or not the first 15 or 16, but the first 12 chapters, and where it talks about, you know, Solomon only asked for wisdom and understanding, and God gave him riches and all kinds of extra stuff that he didn't even ask for. You know, he's like, Lord, I just want to know you and understand you. Give me wisdom to run. And he gave him all this extra stuff. We talked about the splendor. We talked about all this stuff that Solomon didn't even ask for. But he obeyed the Lord to a certain extent. And God gave him much more than he had even asked for. So when we think we're giving stuff up, the first thing we need to remember to just do what God says. Be obedient. Because when we do, then he will. Amen.
Right. I'm trying to sit here. You pulling on my starter motor. You trying to start me right back up.
I was trying to talk you down off the ledge. I'm trying to bring you back. Come on back.
You pushing it like Dick and Child say, uh-oh, she's trying to push the Google button.
Okay. No. I was trying to do the opposite of that. Lord have mercy. Well, guess that didn't work. Well, we're going to sit down and catch the break.
Because I'm getting fired up again.
Yep. Okay. My fault. That did not work out well. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy. We're going and because I know you full and trying to start that motor again. I was trying to talk you down off the ledge. But you know what
I'm not through, but I ain't through, but I got to quit.
But you got to quit. I know. Well, that's all right. Go on, sit back and get you some water, and y'all catch your breath and relax for a minute. I'm going to do these announcements, and it's going to be all good. Amen. So good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to all of our Blog Talk listeners, new and old, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. Lord have mercy. As always, we want to thank and acknowledge all of our pastors at Run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, Minister John McFall. We are so thankful for all of these people, all of these shepherds who lead us and show us the way and help us and guide us into the word of the Lord so that we can put our hand in the hand of the Lord and the Lord can continue to guide us and lead us. So we thank you all for everything that you do for us at Run for Christ Ministries. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." And we thank you for being that messenger of good news today. We know it's Pastor O teaching us and teaching to us and preaching the word of God, not to just us at Running for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform, people all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So Bible reading class is held here on Mondays at 6 p.m. Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks will be teaching 1 Kings chapters 12 through 17. On tomorrow, Pastor has sent the email with the questions, and they're also available online for you to access. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Reverend Richard Overall, who we all know by now, is Pastor O's brother, is on Blog Talk Radio. He's got his own hour, which we know that he needed, teaching and preaching, in his series Training Day. So set yourself a reminder each week and tune in at 4 o'clock every Tuesday. Get you a good hour of the Word, and he is so full of information and so full of the Word of God. It is truly a blessing, so make sure you tune in. Amen. Bible class is held here on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pastor O is teaching from the book Major Bible Themes and will be teaching the last chapter of the book this week, chapter 52, speaking about the new heaven and the new earth. So please read the chapter, any scriptures contained within, answer the questions at the end, and be ready to participate and or listen to discussion. Amen? All right, so a couple few announcements. New announcements, I should say, not few, new. We will be having our Good Friday service on Friday, April 2nd, from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, of course, here on Blog Talk Radio. We don't have anything on Fridays, so you're going to absolutely have to set yourself a reminder for this service. So Good Friday, which is this Friday, April the 2nd, from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we will be having our Good Friday service here on Blog Talk Radio. So set yourself a reminder and remember to tune in. Amen. All right, so the Wednesday night Bible class, as I said, will end this Wednesday on March 31st because the book has been or will be completed with this last class. And it will resume in September with Christian history. So the Wednesday night Bible class is going to end this Wednesday with the conclusion of Major Bible Themes, but the Wednesday class is going to resume in September with Christian history. And beginning April the 7th, the Bible reading class, which is currently being held on Monday nights, will move to Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. Finishing the completion of Major Bible Themes, we will resume that type of an advanced class in September with Christian history. But starting on April the 7th, our Monday night classes that we have will go to that Wednesday. Amen. And as another reminder, Pastor O's book, Jesus Christ from His Birth to His Ascension, is $5 off from now until April 30th. The discount is because of the Easter season, which will be celebrated this week. So take advantage of the discount. You know, buy some books for yourself, for your children, for family members who may not know the Lord, excuse me, friends, you know, people in your community, just whoever the Lord leads you to. Share this book with them and bless their lives. You can't always bust somebody upside the head with a Bible and expect them to get it. You have to meet people where they are. And sometimes when you're trying to lead people to Christ, you know, you got to just give them a little bit of knowledge here and there. So this book is going to be a wonderful way to kind of break the ice and get a person
comfortable with getting ready to read the word. Amen. So the fourth Wednesday of every month from March to November, First Fruit Living Ministries and Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, whether you're from Run for Christ or if you're just a Blog Talk Radio listener and you're in the area, we will be out in front of Run for Christ Ministries praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches. It's kind of a bus stop, like right in front of the church. And I know Pastor had mentioned, I don't know if it's directly in front of the church, but the bus driver will stop and, you know, people get out and, you know, to be met with people who want to help you reconnect and get prayer, you know, with the Lord is really a huge thing. So I know Pastor said this coming Wednesday, which is the 4th Wednesday. Yeah. Is it this Wednesday? This Wednesday is like the 5th Wednesday, but anyway, it's the 4th Wednesday of every month from 11:30 to 1:30. Pastor's going to clarify that because I feel like it's 5 Wednesdays this month. But nevertheless, we Pastor's going to work that announcement out. But it's from 11:30 to 1:30. Be on time because the minister's on time. Amen? Amen. All right. So Sunday, April the 4th, which is Resurrection Day / Easter Sunday, Running for Christ Ministries, get this, y'all, will be celebrating our 18th church anniversary. 18 years. How awesome is that? Of course, we will be celebrating on Blog Talk Radio because, unfortunately, we will not be able to celebrate physically and in person, but we can and we will together. So tune in and make sure to share this and all of our other services with other people. I'm like, I have to say, it's only fair to share. Amen. And as a reminder that all of our classes and services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free, just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll have access to all of the classes and services that we've ever done on Blog Talk Radio. Again, all for free. Amen. If you'd like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, or if you're a member, you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, go to the church website. You'll find all the information you need there. And we would like to continue to thank everyone that faithfully gives to Run for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically in the building. And because of your continuous support, we have been able to make our first installment towards our outreach ministries that we support. So Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Praise God. Amen. We know that these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people all year long. So we praise God for you. God bless you. And we thank you. For more info on our outreach, of course, go to our church website. Amen. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Pastor O, please visit his website, Pastor G. MO.com, PastorGMO.com, and click the donate button. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And we will choose to be obedient today and continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Pray for those who are sick, shut in, one another, and, of course, yourself. Continue to pray for all of our mothers at Running for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Also pray that the will that you have for your life aligns with God's purpose and will for your life as it is. Only the will of the Lord that will prosper. Amen. So special prayers go out to Mother Marilyn Overall, Mother Irma Miller, Minister John McFall, Tyrone Hamilton, all of our children, teachers out there, parents out there, our world, nation, all of our leaders on every level, all of the doctors, nurses, medical field, essential workers, the many missing and exploited children, those who are being trafficked and abused, and, of course, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. And pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused. Remember Acts 1:8. Which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem," which is your household today, Judea, which is your community today, Samaria, which is outside of your comfort zone, the places where you wouldn't normally go in today's time, and to the ends of the earth, places that you thought you'd never go, because you're just like, no, I'm just not going there. The word of God needs to get there too, and it will. Amen. So it's our job to spread the good gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. So plant that seed if that's what God asks you to do. Water that seed if that's what he asks you to do. And then let, if you do, then I will. Amen. So prayer, as we know, is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. Like Pastor said, people say, I ain't prayed in a month. How can you go a day without prayer? The Lord don't expect you to be laying face down on the ground all day, every day to pray to him. But guess what? If that's what you got to do, then, hey, that's what you got to do. Amen. So Mark chapter 3, verse 25 tells us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And John 15:5 says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, no thing. And we have been commanded to seek God's help and God's hand in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. Psalm 34:18 says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm 30:5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, I don't give so many scriptures to stir up any painful emotions, you know, or make you sad or heartbreak or heartbroken at all. I say them to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you at all times. Amen. Continue reaching out to others, checking on people, seeing how they're doing, seeing if they're all right. If they ain't all right, pray for them. If they are all right, pray for them. You know, pray with them if that's what you need to do. You know, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. So decide to be the one to spread positivity and be the light in someone's world. Blessings don't have to be in the form of money or things, and the gift of love is free. And, again, we are the light of the world, so illuminate your part of the world, whatever that is today, because of Hebrews 13:1-2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. And to our Runners for Christ Ministries family, oh, it's been a year, and we know we're not together physically, but we are together in spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew 18:19-20, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit have come together this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus. And so we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. So I have a special request to not read the thought on today. But if you want to hear it, please refer back to the service that we had on yesterday. And even if you're not trying to hear the thought, you need to go back and listen to yesterday anyway, because Janine was on fire, speaking about the blood, breaking down the blood, telling us how important the blood is. So, yeah, even if you ain't going back to listen to the thought, you need to listen to that sermon in its entirety, amen, because it was the bomb. All right, so I just want to say that as we approach this Easter season, I ask that you take some time to clear your mind and really meditate on just how important this season is, not only for us as Christians, but for the world. And not just in the death and burial of Jesus Christ, but in his resurrection. Amen. All of the songs pointed to that today, like all the commentary that Pastor made, you know, in between songs, all of that pointed to his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. We have to understand and appreciate what the Lord goes through in this week, but guess what? We know the ending. We know the ending, and that's what we have to focus on. Amen. So I got a devotional for you. It's different than the one that I read yesterday, but it says, God made you to love you. And it's by Pastor Rick Warren, and it is dated for today. It says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And we all know that that's John 3:16. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus on a mission of love with a message of love. The Bible doesn't say God has love. It says God is love. Love is his nature. God is created the entire universe. He created this planet, and he created the human race. Then he created you because he loved you. God made you so he could love you and so that you could love him. God's love for you is the reason your heart is beating right now. It's the reason you are breathing. God's good news is that he loves you on your bad days just as much as he loves you on your good days. He loves you when you can feel his love, and he loves you when you can't seem to feel his love. He loves you regardless of whether or not you think you deserve his love. There is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. You can try, but you simply can't do it because his love for you is based upon his character and not on anything you do, say, or feel. God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, into the world so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. When Jesus stretched his arms out as wide as the cross, he was saying, I love you this much. Stretch your arms out that much, okay? I love you so much it hurts. I love you so much I'll die for you so that I won't have to live without you. Ephesians chapter 3 says, God's love is so wide, long, high, and deep that humans can't fully understand it. So as you go about your day today, know that God is loving you at every moment, no matter what. Amen. Talk about some encouragement. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements. Amen.
Amen. Crystal, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I tried my best not to get all wound up again, but I appreciate
it. I don't think you can help it.
I'm telling you, especially when the word is popping like that. You know, it's hard.
Yes. Amen. It's hard.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Love you.
You're
be
welcome.
Best.
Of course. Love you, too. You, too.
Bill Mira, say what's up.
I sure will while he up in Cancun. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, I know. Have a good time.
Hello.
Burning up. All right.
Okay, that's what you get.
Hey, man, we thank God for all of you who tuned in. Just want to let you know, on the Good Friday, it's been decided that I will preach, and I'm going to be preaching from this subject just for me. Amen. Just for me. Amen. And then Sunday, Lord willing, and we're still here in this world, or I am, amen, going to be preaching Jesus is Risen. I don't, you know, normally somebody else preaches these kind of holidays, but the Lord is trying to get me to the place where I'm not afraid to preach a holiday. But anyway, I know that might sound funny to you, but trust me, he knows me and understands. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in. I want to thank God for Deaconess June Rogers for pouring herself into the study so she could teach a Sunday school lesson as well as she did. Amen. Praise God for that. And I want to thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. Amen. Her excellence all the time. She is the one who finds folks to come and do these things so that we don't have to do everything. And so I thank God for them. I want to especially thank God for Nico Gaston. Dr. Nico Gaston, she is the altar caller, and she always comes with two songs, one before and after, praise the Lord, hallelujah, let's work for me. But anyway, we thank God for you, and of course, Crystal, that's my, some people say we need to get us a radio show or some kind of talk show, but amen, that's the future, we'll see about that. Amen. God bless you, God keep you. Remember, be intentional about this week. Do not forget Jesus' footsteps from today. Okay, he made us what we call the triumphal entry, where they took the palms and they took their coats and they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the King. And we know folks got mad about that. That's when Jesus said that if these stop crying out, then the rocks will cry out. Amen. Because God deserves praise, and he's going to get his praise. His glory is intrinsic. We want to be like Jesus. In John chapter 4, 17 and 4, Jesus said, Father, I have brought you glory on earth. And how did he do that? He's told us. He said, by finishing the work you gave me to do. All of us got some work to do this week. Amen. Let's get that work finished. So if the Lord decides to come back and we're absent from the body and present with him, guess what we can say? We finished the work that you gave us to do. We glorified you with our life on earth. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, let God bless you in a famine. Listen to the Lord. See which way he wants you to go. And it's up to him to make the blessing happen. Amen. I love this song. I want to thank Deacon Eric Reed for it. This ought to put us in the right mindset for it from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Before we play that, that was loud in my ear. Let me say, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace until we meet again. Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a drill. It's time for you to speak what you want to see. And if you're with it, then repeat after me. Come on.
Every time I turn around, blessing, blessing. Every time I turn around, blessings on blessings. Every time I turn around, blessing, blessing. Yeah, every time I turn around, blessings on blessings. Hey. Yes, sir. I see blessing, blessing. There will be blessings on blessings. Oh, yeah. Blessing.